The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Kingdom Parables in Matthew. We are coming to the end of a short series about these, and today there's the Pearl of Great Price and the Dragnet. When will God separate the wicked and the just? We count ourselves fortunate to have you with us today on Grace in Focus, the podcast radio broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are a free grace ministry. And our website, if you want to know more about us, is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You will find our resources, you'll find out about our online seminary, and many other things if you go there, faithalone.org. Now, with the conclusion of our short series on Kingdom Parables, here are Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins.
Steve, we're going to go to the question of when does God separate the wicked from the righteous, which is found in the parable of the dragnet. But before we do, I think we should briefly touch on another very short parable, and it's the parable of the pearl of great price. So what's going on there?
Well, it says in verse 45, chapter 13, book of Matthew, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, literally merchant man, seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Ooh, that must have been some kind of pearl.
Yeah, right. So basically, we have the same options we had on verse 44 with the parable of the hidden treasure. Mm-hmm. This could be referring to Jesus buying the kingdom, or it could refer to us buying fullness of life in the coming kingdom, or it could refer to both. Mm-hmm. It could be looking at Jesus. Now, in verse 44, it's anthropos. Here, it's anthropos plus the word for merchant, and mm-hmm. So it's slightly different. That's why when I was talking with Ken Yates on the radio about this, he took the view this probably refers to believers buying fullness of life in the kingdom, whereas verse 44 would refer to Jesus buying the kingdom. But in any case, I think if both are about mm-hmm. Jesus, the application for us is we should follow our Lord.
Absolutely. Very good. And and in that regard, I think this parable is much like the one before it. So sometimes Paul does this. He'll repeat something in the next line and restate it to get it, like Romans 5, 9, and 10.
And it also makes it more emphatic.
Yes.
In fact, there are several of the Psalms which occur twice. The same exact Psalm is found two different places in the Psalter. Mm-hmm. Well, why? Well, because when the people gathered the Psalter together, they felt that this psalm was so important it needed to be brought in twice.
Mm-hmm. Bob, and you've been teaching free grace for a long time now to many, many people.
Yeah.
And along with free grace, rewards theology has to be pretty robust because we don't conflate rewards passages with gospel passages. So there's a distinct rewards theology, if you will.
That's correct.
That's huge in the Bible. Now, over these many years, how many people have you seen, once they find out about the possibility of inheriting the kingdom to rule and reign with Christ, the possibility of being rich and rewarded and great and not least in the kingdom, things like that, that get so excited of living for the kingdom that they're beside themselves?
It's almost like the joy people have when they're born again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite the same because the other is, I know I'm going to be forever in the kingdom. But there is tremendous joy, and I've also seen the opposite, where people who are in their 60s or 70s say, how come nobody ever told me about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they regret it. Well, let's take a look at the final one we're going to see in this series, and it's the parable of the dragnet. And what in the world is a dragnet? That's a net you drag along the bottom to pick up all the, or drag in the ocean to pick up all the fish?
I suppose so, yeah.
I remember I saw the show Dragnet, and it was a police drama, but this is different. Okay.
That's right, yeah.
So what about the parable of the dragnet? This is talking about the end of the age when the Lord's going to separate the wicked from the righteous or the wicked from the just?
Yes, let's read it and find out. Verse 47, chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, we've already seen that in the parable just before it, in the wheat and tares.
Right.
Same language.
Right. So you've got the wicked and the just. Now, the just are not people who live blamelessly, mm-hmm. although some of them may, but the just are people who have been declared righteous by God. They have everlasting life. And the wicked are not people who are necessarily the most wicked people of all time. They are people who are unjust,
right.
People who have not been justified. And remember, Jesus said, no one is good but God. So all of us would fall in the category of the wicked, but for the fact that we are justified by faith. We are given everlasting life by faith alone. Mm-hmm. But this parable is about the separation. And so you've got this time, and he says that we're gathering the good into vessels, we're throwing the bad away. The throwing the bad away is probably looking, don't you think, at Revelation 20, 11 to 15, especially verse 15?
Yeah.
Anyone's name not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. They're thrown away from the kingdom.
Right. I think that's certain. And by the way, just because they're thrown in the furnace and burned up, it doesn't mean that there's not eternal torment.
That's right. Well, okay, bring that out, yeah.
Well, there's a thing called ECT, eternal conscious torment, and there are many in the Christian faith who don't like that at all.
Right.
The idea that as if God is just over-punishing, like he's a sadist or over-punishing people to torment them for eternity.
Yeah, what I like is that you're bringing this out. It seems to me that the scriptures are clear. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Galatians 6, 7, and this also goes on, 8, 9. And the point is, that's true for the believer and the unbeliever. Matthew 16, 27, he talks about he's coming in the glory of his Father. Then he will recompense each according to his works. It's funny, at the judgment seat of Christ, everyone's going to be judged according to their works. At the great white throne, everybody's going to be judged according to their works.
All judgments are based
right.
on works.
But the people are not condemned because of their works. They're condemned if their name is not in the book of life. And the believers are at the judgment seat of Christ not because of their works, but because their names are in the book of life.
Right.
And so the issue here of the wicked and the just is that there's a time coming when there will be a separation. Now, we live during the age between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, and we live among a lot of unjustified people. I like to think of it this way. Have you seen any of these shows where people get, like, possessed by these alien beings, and they're somehow living within them? And
Bob, I don't like to watch those kind of movies.
I think it's called Invasion of the Body Snatchers, right? And so they snatch the body, and they look just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But they're actually taken over by these alien beings. Well, I kind of like to think of the fact that those of us who have everlasting life are like a different species. Mm. We look the same as everybody else, but we're not the same as everybody else because we are justified before God. We have everlasting life. We're never going to perish. We're going to be forever in his kingdom. And the other people are people that we long to come to faith so they too can be part of our species, right?
Yep.
They can be part of the people who are going to live forever and have immortality. Of course, everyone will live forever, but we will have immortality without pain and suffering. They will have mortality. They will be mortal forever, and they will experience pain and suffering. And so it seems to me this Jesus telling this parable is a sort of warning, don't you think?
I think so. Now, I might have missed something you said. You believe in eternal conscious torment.
I do.
Yes.
I mean, the point is, it seems to me that the suffering in the lake of fire is really going to be a matter of justice.
Mm-hmm.
People have reaped what they sowed, and it's going to be tolerable. Remember, Jesus said it will be more tolerable for those in Sodom and Gomorrah, or more tolerable for those. Well, more tolerable suggests it's going to be tolerable for all.
Yeah.
I have a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, and one of them is about hell. Mm-hmm. And I suggest there that the lake of fire, which is really not called hell in Scripture, but anyway, the lake of fire will be tolerable.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be like eternal childbirth or eternal kidney stones or something or eternal gallstones.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be like somebody being tortured forever.
Right.
It's like people are going to experience torment, but it'll be bearable torment.
Right.
And I don't know, the scriptures aren't real clear what it's like. In fact, I quote people in my book about the fact that the Bible has remarkably little to say about Sheol now or the lake of fire in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, most of people's ideas come from Dante's Inferno and medieval ideas about, you know, fire coming out of people's pores in their skin, yeah. you know, that kind of thing. I don't think people are going to be on fire, and I don't think the torment's going to be unbearable, but I do think it will be torment forever. And, you know, we need to recognize that those who are not in the kingdom are not going to have a blessed eternity.
And, Bob, I think certainly what's very clear in these parables, the wheat and the tares and the parable of the dragnet, there are two kinds of people ultimately.
And what are those two kinds?
Saved and not saved.
Right.
Believers and non-believers.
The just, the unjust.
Those are going to be in the kingdom, those who aren't.
And it has nothing to do with how good they are.
Right.
It has nothing to do with their faithfulness, their obedience. It has everything to do with John 3:16. Yeah. If we believe in him, we'll never perish. If we don't believe in him, we will perish. We will be eternally condemned.
There are other classifications of people beside that. That's the main thing and the big thing. But like in 1 Corinthians, there's a natural man, and then there's a carnal or baby believer, fleshly-oriented
like
believer.
Like the believers in Corinth.
Sure. And then there's a spiritual believer, spiritually-minded believer. Speaking of punishment, believers can go through some serious punishment, too.
Well, it's interesting. This weeping and gnashing of teeth is used in Matthew 8, Matthew 22, and Matthew 25 in reference to the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
That there will be believers who are cast into the outer darkness, which is not really a literal place, but it's the darkness outside, figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
And they're going to miss out on ruling and reigning with Christ. And as a result of the judgment seat of Christ, they will have some shame and they will have some pain.
Yeah, and so, Bob, really, the parable of the wheat and tares and the parable of the dragnet, one of the main things they are saying is there are ultimately two kinds of people, those who are saved, those who aren't, those who are going to be in the kingdom, those who are going to be in the lake of fire. Our job, it seems to me, and this is a big theme in the book of Matthew, and how we're to live until the king comes back, we need to be evangelizing. We need to be making disciples.
Amen. And then, once someone does come to faith, we call them to live for Christ so they may have fullness of life in the life to come.
Right.
So many people say, if you live for Christ and you give your life to him and you follow him, then you're going to be with him forever. No, that's a false gospel. We need to keep the issues of justification and sanctification, of salvation and discipleship, distinct. And if we do, then we can lead people to be part of the just, and we can lead people to be part of those who hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, thanks, y'all, for listening, and thank you, Steve, for this wonderful series on the parables. And remember, keep
grace
in
focus.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, a Q&A edition, how can we be sure to give enough information when we witness? If you are a free grace witness, how should this happen? That's next time. Join us here. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.